We're in the middle of a sermon series called I Love My Church. And it sounds bad, if you want to put it that way, because do we really want to say I love my church? And for those who have asked, because I've heard a few people ask, what is the C underlined for? Well, if you look at it, it's completely all caps, and so that is just emphasizing that the C is capitalized. That's all that is. I love my church. It all comes from the scripture that I read earlier, Jesus is going to build his church on the foundation of the rock that says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that when we come together and we come into a place, when Jesus said that, what did he mean by my church? And we looked at it the first week that we started this whole series. We looked at what is the church, and we said that the church is there to worship God, to teach Christians how to live Christ in our world, and to reach those who do not know God. That is the purpose of the church. In the second message, we looked at what is Manning Family Worship Center, and how does Manning Family Worship Center reach the mandate of the church in general? In the world, we preach and we are ambassadors with full authority. In the church, we build and equip individuals to accomplish the goals of the local and the global church. Those are the main things that we do. We do this in two ways. First, through preaching, teaching, and sending. And we do it second, we build community within the church through our weekly, monthly, and annual events. In the third message, we started to revamp our vision statement. And Laurel, go to the next slide, which is basically families together. We are a group of people with a variety of talents and gifts that were brought together to meet with God and to be a family. Our church is made up of so many different people, so many different talents, and we can only do it together. Each one of us has a part to play, just like in a car. If all the parts aren't doing the things that they are meant to do, then it's not quite working right. The car was put together by technicians using parts that came from all parts of the world, and God has put us together in Manning Family Worship Center using parts that came from all parts of the world. You know, we talked about, you look around and we had people from Holland and Mexico, and now we have people from the Philippines, and we have people from all over Canada. God brought us all together, but it wasn't just people being brought together. It wasn't just a couple of churches that joined together. It was God in the midst of the churches building us up to be together, and then God continuing to be the binding agent in that church. Which brings us to today's message. Laura, put it to the other one again, please. We are a church that together as families, we do a few things. In the next few weeks, we'll be talking about that. We'll be looking at how we worship. We'll be looking at how we serve, how we give, different things. And might even go further than that, I don't know. So far, the plan is I'm only looking 3 sermons right now in the future, but it might continue. It might be a whole year sermon. Last year, I started a series on the favor of God at the beginning. I didn't realize it was going to take all year, you know, but through the whole course of the year, the entire year's theme was the favor of God. This year, it might be just the fact that I love my church and what is this church and what is our DNA here? What makes us Family Worship Center? So I want to focus on that second word, worship. In John chapter 4, if you want to turn there, you can. I will read it to you. John chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. It says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. What I find most amazing about this portion is not that we're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth, but that God is actually seeking people who worship him in spirit and in truth. And we need to find out, what does that mean, worship in spirit and in truth? And I've spoken many messages, I don't know if here, or but in other churches, in other places, we've talked about how God wants to be worshipped in spirit and truth and what that means. Excuse me. So I want to just go through a few scriptures that talk about worshiping God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28. And 29 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And it's important for us to find out what acceptable worship is. But it's also important to make sure that we are grateful, we are thankful that God has given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Where is that kingdom? It's in you. I wish I could remember the scripture right now, but Jesus says it straight out. He says, do you not know that the kingdom of God is in you? It is within you. That's where the kingdom is. Where's Jules when you need him? He's the one that usually searches all these scriptures out for me. Guess I thought he was going to be here. But that kingdom that cannot be shaken is within you. It's right there. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, he became the kingdom within you that cannot be shaken. People always say that they want to go into the kingdom of God, of heaven. Well, guess what? It's in you already. So all you have to do is access it within you. But that's another message. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. From this scripture, we look at worship, and again, it's holy and acceptable to God. In Hebrews 12, 28, it said God wanted an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. In this one, we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable, which is our spiritual worship. And he goes right into the fact that we need to be transformed, not conformed to the world. So what the world thinks is worship, let's leave that behind. Let's look at what God thinks. Let's transform by renewing our minds. How do we renew our minds? We get into the Word. When you see this word transformed, it's in two other places. One, where Jesus was transfigured. Two is where it says in, Chris, you'll be able to help me out this, where when we focus on Jesus and we look into the mirror, we are transformed into the image of Christ. So when we look into the mirror being the Word of God, when we study this and when we meditate on it, from cover to cover, there is references to Jesus Christ. And in that, we are transformed into His image. And so that's a portion of our worship, the holy and acceptable portion of worship to Him. In 1 Samuel 15, 22, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and the sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to God, obeying His voice is true worship. You know, you look through the entire Old Testament, and it's a bunch of rules in regards to how to worship. And God is saying, I would prefer that you obey me than follow those rules. But he still had those rules. So it's important to obey God. When he speaks, to obey. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, through him, therefore, let us constantly in all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous and distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as embodiment and proof of fellowship, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The fruit of lips continually giving thanks in acknowledging and confessing and glorifying his name. It's what we need to do. Now, I want to ask you a couple questions. Who here was raised in a church that was either Pentecostal or charismatic? Now, I know the rest of you are going to have uncomfortableness in this, but if you could, to raise your hands in church. If you were not raised in a Pentecostal or charismatic church. Well, see, you can do it. See? Yeah, I knew it. Sorry, I just had to. It's in my notes too, yeah. But anyways. So how many of you, when you went to church, worshipped God? Oh, wow. See, even those who are not Pentecostal, worshipped God. But those of you who might be of the other side, even the Pentecostals worship God. Is it the style that was important? Or the fact that we worshiped God? We worshiped God. That's the important thing. So, how many of you, every Sunday, got to sing your favorite song? None of you? Yeah. Terrell, that's definitely... I have a problem with that, though, because, see, I was trained in the worship, but I didn't always sing all my favorite songs. Yeah. So now I have to ask you, did it bother you that you didn't sing all your favorite songs? Huh. Hey, Wade, have you ever gotten, or Kenneth, sorry. Did you ever get any complaints about the songs that were sung? No? Oh, wow. Wow, you must be a really good worship leader. Like, has anyone ever complained about the songs they sung? Liars. I've heard most of you actually complain about that. Our worship teams got together a few months ago and suggested that someday we give opportunity for the congregation to choose some of the songs that we sing. So with that, did my guys have their lists? Can you distribute those pieces of paper, please? I have little pieces of paper that I want you to take, and it has on it a list for you to put out three songs that you would like to sing at the church. Now, looking around, probably 130 people here, 120, something like that. Three songs, that's 390 songs approximately. In a given year, we sing about 400 songs. So if every one of you puts down a different song, I can guarantee you not every song will be sung in the course of this next year. I can guarantee it. But even so, the worship leaders are going to have to get together and choose which songs are sung. But we will try to get to the majority of the songs that are written down. And for those of you in the youth, please do not pick songs that are from like AC/DC or Dwight Yoakam or any of those other people. I know I'm completely aging myself on those, but I couldn't think of anyone else to say because I listen to 80s country. So, and as my face goes red. Well, go ahead and put those, but I can guarantee you that those ones will not be put sung in anyhow. So please put down, be truthful in what you're wanting to have on there so that we can see where the heart is. That's what we would like to see. But understand that they might not be sung. And if you understand that, then we can still go forward because it's not about the style. You've told me that. And now we need to prove that. So worship leaders, I might not have warned you about this prior time, but you will be having a little bit of homework assignment in the next coming weeks here. So the point of all this is that we have many churches that are represented here from where we all grew up or from the many churches that we have gone to throughout history to this day. There are so many churches, and all of us have favorite songs. All of us have songs that are not sung that we were like, well, that would be nice to sing those songs. But we sing 5 or 6 songs every day or every Sunday. And even if we add in the evening services, we are still only getting somewhere around 450 songs or something to that effect throughout the course of the year. Now, that's not the point of this sermon. Because, you know, we probably have just as many ideas as different churches as to what is the best style of worship, as Sharon so kindly pointed out to us earlier. But if you notice, I don't know if you've ever looked at this, but in the Bible, other than the Old Testament law, there is no prescribed way given to how the church should worship God in the corporate setting. Not one. You go through the entire New Testament and there's nowhere does it tell you how to perform a Sunday service. Nowhere. It will give you highlights as to what to do within the service when certain things happen. But it does not give you a prescribed form of how service is. What you are seeing today in the way that we worship is because of traditions. Traditions that might have started back in 200 AD, but have been changed and evolved throughout history up until 2016. And so this is how we worship today. But the Bible does not give us a prescription as to how to do that. So which way of worshiping is right? It really depends. Were you worshiping God or were you worshiping the style? Now I know that the majority of us, the church answer is, we were definitely worshiping God. But if the style of worship gets in the way of you worshiping God, then you weren't worshiping God. Worshiping God is an attitude of the heart, not of the song that is sung. And that is not, for those of you who are the modern people, that does not exclude you from that conversation. Because we can sing the old style, the old songs in the old style. We don't have to modernize it. It can still be done in the old way as long as your attitude is right. It can still be done. I can guarantee it that it can be done. I said in the first message of this series that it doesn't really matter what songs are sung, it matters that we worship God. I said it here too. And then I said this one phrase that was very strong, but you know what? It resonated with me. When we start singing songs about you or to you, then we can start discussing if you like the songs or not. Because God can look down and hear the absolute most horrid sound that mankind has ever produced and say, wow, that is awesome. Look at the heart that is in that worship. And he could look at the most beautiful of songs because he says it in Amos chapter 5. He says that I hear your wonderful music, but it's not worship. And I don't even want to hear it because it's not done with the right heart. The style is not important. Part of the old covenant, the law, was the style of worship. But in the new covenant, there is no prescribed style to worship God. Really, the only thing mentioned in regards to worship is to obey God and his commandments. So then the question is at that point, what does the New Testament really mean when it talks about worshiping God by obeying him? Well, and I can tell you, Watch your toes. It's not by following the Ten Commandments. We need to get it out of our minds that when God talks about the law, He is only talking about the Ten Commandments. When God is talking about the law, He is talking about the law in its entirety, which is really the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. It's not going into the Jewish traditions and finding out what the rabbis said about those laws. It's what God wrote in those laws, especially in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus. If a person decides that they need to follow the law in order to please God, they need to take in the entire law and follow it. Because when Jesus said that those who break even the littlest of laws break the whole, He was referring to the entire law, not just those 10 that we call the commandments. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel had laws to follow. The laws were extensive, including what to do when you go to the bathroom. When you read the New Testament, it tells us we are no longer under the law, but we need to obey what God says. A lot of what God says has said in the Old Testament does make sense. But how do we pick and choose what of the Old Testament that we need to obey? You know, the Ten Commandments are really good. You read them and it's like, wow, that's something that we should follow. And the Holy Spirit will never go against those. Did you hear me on that? The Holy Spirit will not go against the Ten Commandments. But it is important to listen to the Holy Spirit and to follow what He is saying to you. So I've heard many people say to me, you know, what does the Bible say about, oh, I don't know, computers? Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about computers. But listen to the Holy Spirit when He's telling you how to use that computer. The computer is full of lots of good things. The internet is full of lots of good things. But the internet is full of a lot of bad things. And that Holy Spirit can sense that little thing to you that says, don't go there. See what I mean? Now that's just a little example, but it should follow every aspect of our lives. Everything. And when you don't follow that Holy Spirit, that inner working, that, you know, God, there's a conscience within us. There's that inner voice that speaks to you. Those of you from Family Worship Center, you heard this story, but the others might not have. That one day I drove up to my house and I was going to go into the garage and park my truck and go in just for, I think it was just for lunch. And I felt this inner working that said to me, said, no, go around to the front door. And I'm sitting there thinking, why would I go around to the front door? That is just a silly thought. So I pulled into the garage, closed the door, got my shoes off, my jacket off, walked in. And my daughter says to me, no, don't come this way. I've just mopped the floor. Go around to the front door. Where did I hear that before? I do not have ESP or psychic abilities, but I do have the Holy Spirit who cares about me so much that He said, why don't you go around to the front door? But I didn't listen. And I can tell you, at that moment, I disobeyed God. I didn't break any of the Ten Commandments, did I? I don't see anywhere where it says, don't come in here because the floor is mopped, so go around to the front door. But because He spoke and I didn't listen, I sinned against Him. And it was very easy to get over that. You know, the conviction hit. I said, okay, God, I'm sorry for not hearing you. Help me hear you better next time. Here's the big problem. You don't really know that if it was the Holy Spirit or not unless you disobey. I could have gone to the front door and I would have said, hey, look, Laurel, Emma was mopping the floor. That's a good idea. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't one of those definite, like, oops, look what I just didn't do. If we just look at it, that God is just wanting us to worship Him by obeying Him. And obeying him is more than just coming to church. Obeying him is more than lifting our hands during worship, if you do or if you don't. Whatever you do in your worship, make sure you're obeying God. Don't be obeying man. You know, sometimes I still do. I'll call a worship leader almost like a cheerleader. Because, oh, raise your hands, bow your head, shift to the right. Wait, that was left. Yeah, sorry. Let's go to right. Yeah. If you follow those things, you're following the worship leader. But if God comes in your heart to such an extent that you can't do anything but raise your hand, then raise your hand. Don't just follow it because, oh, look, that guy beside me is raising my hand. I wonder if I should do it too. No. Do it because God is telling you. Whatever your style, I hope that you trust our worship leaders. Because I can tell you, I can't tell you for sure, but from what they tell me, they spend a lot of time before God picking the songs for each Sunday morning. So when you actually say to them, I didn't like that song, they could take it personally and say, wow, maybe I didn't hear from God today. But worship leaders, don't take that as license, because everyone in this place should have the right to worship in their style. You see how difficult the position of worship leader can be? So I hope you take that into a little bit of consideration when you talk to them. You know, maybe it didn't go perfect. Maybe the worship leader might have forgotten to plug in his guitar. I was trying to find something wrong with today's worship. There was really nothing, but, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please take it to the right way. God says at one point, he tells the people of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But then in other places, when they come into battle, he tells them to fight. Which one gave them the victory? Both ways. Why? Because they listened to what the Lord said. So that's the other thing you got to remember. Just because you raised your hands on Holy Spirit this Sunday doesn't mean that next Sunday when we sing Holy Spirit, you have to raise your hand just to get something out of it. Because God works in different ways. And he might be telling you, okay, raise your hands this time. Hey, dance in the aisles. But he might not. And either way, listen to what he's saying. Is he that meticulous that he wants to be involved in your life that much? Yes, he is. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. But he will only get involved in the life that you allow him to get involved in. So if you open up yourself completely to him, you know the song, I Surrender All? If you actually do that, I bet you'll find your life a little different. And I'm not talking about just being prostrate before the Lord and saying, Lord, forgive me, and humbling yourself before him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about surrendering every aspect of your life so that when he speaks, you listen at everything. And your life will be different. If you want God to be God and you truly want to worship him, then let him be God of your heart. Worshiping God in spirit, in truth, is not the songs we sing. It is obeying God one step at a time. You look at Moses. Moses didn't have the power to divide the Red Sea. But he did have the power to take his rod and stretch it out over the sea when God told him to, so that God would do the work. Moses didn't have power to bring water from the rock, But when he followed the Lord's instructions, he struck the rock and water came out. But then when God said for him to speak to the rock, what did Moses do? He did speak, but he added a step and he struck the rock. The water still came out, but he was now, God told him, I restrict you. You are not going into the promised land. You see how important it is to follow the instructions of God? It's important to follow those things. It will be the same way with you. When you start doing your part, the Holy Spirit will do His, and supernatural things will start happening in your life. Now, when I went into the house, I can tell you that it wasn't a supernatural experience because I just went there for lunch. But it was the process of God working and working in me to listen to that still small voice that talks at all times. And when that voice talks and I start to listen, it will eventually get to that point that he will say to me, that person there needs prayer. They have some inner problems within them and you need to pray for them, and you lay your hands on them, they will be healed. And if at that moment that I go over there and I pray for that person, I have to expect that it will be healed because I followed the Holy Spirit. Happened to me in West Virginia. There was a lady in our worship team that was blind. And God said to me, he said, lay your hands on her. She will be healed the moment that you touch her. And I backed away. She died blind. I have to live with that every day. Does it always come to mind? No. When it does, it brings tears to my heart. Because I could have been the vessel that allowed that to happen. Because I just decided, no, I'm not going to take the chance and follow what God said. That's the problem with following God. In order to do it right, you got to take risks. And I know the Canadian culture. Our Canadian culture is to be more on the backside of the risks. You know what? I don't want to take that because it's too risky. And I know the church culture is even more than that because we are speaking about unseen things. And I pray that we will get over that and we'll start listening to God even on the unseen, and we'll have faith that God is faithful to do exactly what He said He would do. And so when we follow Him and He says, put your hand on that person, they will be healed, then we do the thing and we see them healed. But if He says, don't do it, then we don't. The hard part is that we all want the big strong and the big things of God right now, and we want to follow Him on the big ideas. Lord, help me in this decision. Do I move? Do I stay? Do I buy that house or buy that car? Do I do those things? But you won't be listening to Him when He says, just go through the front door instead of through the garage. If we start listening to Him in the small things, then He'll start increasing those things, and all of a sudden we'll see ourselves taking those bigger risks and seeing the fact that person will be healed. As I've said many times before, praying for someone in cancer is a lot harder on our part than praying for someone with a sniffly cold. On God's part, there's no difference. On our part, it's a little different. So we need to make ourselves build up to those things. So then what is our part? Well, I can tell you that this is the key. Feed on God's Word. You start reading this and saying, God, speak to me. So it's not just reading it. It's taking time and asking God to speak to you through it. It's listening to people who preach God's Word and to speak who speak it without any kind of holding back, but speaking the Word of God. Listening to those things will build it in your spirit. It's praying in the Spirit. It's listening to what the Spirit of God says to you. And as you do those things, as you move, as God impresses you to move, and you take your direction from Him, that's true worship. Do what God wants you to do. We want to be a church that worships God, but we don't want to be one that just sings songs because they are the latest songs or because they are the ones we do well, or because they're the ones that we sung when we were a kid and it meant so much to us then. We want to worship God by being obedient. And I encourage you in the congregation, if it is not your style, then first of all, trust the worship team that they are listening and obeying God. But second, trust in God that He wants to accept the worship that is coming from your heart. The Bible tells us, it says to rejoice when others are rejoicing. It says to weep when others are weeping. And so when we start to do that as a congregation together, we start to show ourselves as the family of God. When we start to worship because another person is, or we weep because another person is. It's like Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and you heard it this morning in the Sunday school. He said, if you hear my words and you obey my commands, then it will be like a man who built his house upon the rock. In Luke, it says that he dug down and found the firm foundation, and then he built on the rock. And the winds and the storms of life will come and they will crash into that building and it will stand firm. It's not because of how they worshiped, it's because they listened to God. But those who hear God's voice, they don't listen and they don't do what it says. They are like the man who just built it on top of the sand. The winds and the storms came by, hit the sides of the walls, and it crashed. And it says, and great was the fall of that house. So I encourage you, in all that we do, in every aspect of our lives, and I pray that our church leadership does the same thing, that we listen to what God is saying and then we do it and we obey Him. Because it's worshiping together that's another reason why I love my church. Let us pray. Father, I ask You today to work on our hearts. I pray that everyone that is here, that has heard something here that just touched them in their heart, Lord God, that they would all of a sudden recognize there's something more to this than what I've always been doing. So God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will speak to each heart, each person in the mind will all of a sudden be quickened to say, that's what I need. I need to obey more. I need to follow that inner tugging. Those of you who do know Jesus as your Savior, you know you did that one time for sure when the Holy Spirit was working on your heart and saying, I want you to invite me in. So now I just ask you, if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior and you feel something in you saying, you know what, there's something in these people that I really like. There's a peace that's there. There's love. There's joy. There's everything. I want some of that. So if that's you, first of all, I talk to you that you would submit your heart to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's all you need to do. But then there are others of you that maybe God's been working in one area of your life. That's the wonderful thing about God. He doesn't just come down and say, I want you to change everything right now. He works at it a piece at a time. So God might have been saying to you about one area or another area. And it's important to yield to Christ, yield to His Spirit, and say, okay, God, that's what I want to do because I want to worship You in spirit and in truth. So as Jen sings this song, I want you to take just a moment and reflect on what was said and ask the Holy Spirit, what are You saying to me? And if He's telling you that you need to yield in an area, then yield to Him. Listen to the Holy Spirit and what He is talking to you.